I was a little bit anxious because, you know, I was wondering how I was going to look, you know what I mean? Because I didn't get to see it myself, amen, when we done it. But, you know, I wasn't being vain and everything, you know, I just was a little bit concerned how I was going to look, and I was a little bit nervous, amen? But I wasn't nervous when I ministered, you know, but I was a little bit nervous, you know, of the response of it, amen? And I seen it, I said, wow, this was great, man, it was powerful, amen? It was great. I was like, look at that guy. Man, he had a good haircut. It looked real good. Amen. Look at that guy. I was so honored because they put me on like I was. There was Joyce Myers, and then somebody else came on before me. It was Evangelist Perry Stone. You know, I thought, man, what an honor to be put in the lineup with those people. Joyce Meyer and Perry Stone. And then they put me on after that. Man, that was so phenomenal. I believe it was prophetic. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God some praise. We're going to continue on the subject of seven pillars. Now, what time is it now? A quarter to 12? Glory to God. We're doing good today. Amen. Didn't the praise and worship team do a great job? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Listen, I want to emphasize on something on Saturday, starting at 5 p.m. every Saturday. We want to say 5 to 6. We thought we was going to pray for an hour last night. We ended up praying for 4 hours. So Saturday from 5 to 6, there's no bondage, but we want to bring out a call to intercessors. Amen. Because, you know, I've been doing Image of God Christian Center Church for 3 years this week. Now listen, when I say 3 years, that means the total start of our church. But as an ecclesiastic incorporation, as a church recognized by the state of Michigan, we're only 2 years old. But 3 years this week, our ministry has been in existence. Amen. And I'm going to say this right here. I know that the city of Adrian needs intercession. Come on, somebody say amen. It needs intercession. If we are going to see a move of God, we're going to have to be people of intercession. Amen. Come on. Come on. Now, me and a couple other guys were doing all-night prayer on Saturday nights, and there's been nights that we've missed it and different things like that, but I quickly discovered yesterday there was such a unity and a oneness in our staff as everybody came together and we began to pray. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit was in operation. Amen. And we want that same grace to be upon every member of Image of God Christian Center Church. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to learn today in the pillar that we're going to talk about today called worship. You know, it's going to cost you something. Amen. Amen. Come on. Say this right here. Say prayer to the Christian is like wet is to water. You can't drink water and not get wet. Therefore, you cannot be a Christian and not pray. Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, you could be one of those get-by Christians. Come on, somebody say amen. Am I telling the truth, Dad? You could be one of them get-by Christians. You know them ones that you just get by. Amen. You got enough juice. Amen. Put it like this. In the natural realm, you're riding around on E all the time. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You put a couple dollars in, and right when you're about to run out, you stop and gas up and $3 more in. You about to run out, $4 more in, amen. I know about that because I did that a long time in the natural realm, amen. But in order to be an effective Christian, you have to have a consistent prayer life. Come on, somebody say amen. Prayer is a part of worship. Just like giving is a part of worship, amen. You cannot be a Christian and not be a giver. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. If you're not a giver, you're not a Christian. You're just a get-by Christian. Come on, amen. 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 Holy Spirit, I thank you for wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our heart be enlightened today, Holy Ghost, that we may know the hope to which you have called us. I'm praying, Lord God, for revelation, not just information. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, for revelation today, Lord God. Empower your people, Lord God. Help us to see what you have called us to do. Help us to know the inheritance of glory that's on the inside of us. And help us to know the exceeding greatness of your power that is toward us who believe. The same identical power that you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. I thank you, Father God, that we would engage that grace. We would engage that power as the word of God unveils who we are in Christ today. In Jesus' name, we will walk out more than conquerors. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We're speaking on the seven pillars. And just for the sake of making sure that everyone has them, I'm going to go back over the seven pillars, and then we're going to start on our second one, okay? The first pillar is what?
Reverence.
Make sure every mic is off except mine. The first pillar is what?
Reverence.
Reverence. What does it mean to reverence God? It means to be awestruck. It means to be dependent upon him. Amen? The word reverence is a translation of the word fear. Somebody say fear. It's also translated terror. But when you think of reverence, it's used in a positive connotation, meaning that reverence is not fearing God, because God don't want you afraid of him, but God wants you to recognize your need of him and your necessity of him, how much you need to depend upon him. The person that has no reverence will never have submission. Come on, somebody say amen. The person that has no reverence will never have submission. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, let me be a good pastor and help you understand this right here. If you say that you are a believer, then you should operate in reverence. If you are a Christian, you should first reverence God. And out of your reverence for God, you should reverence all those that are in authority. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You should reverence your parents. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You should reverence your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
You should reverence the president. You should reverence the Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. If we are true believers, we should operate in reverence. And we learned that with Pastor Crisco. We learned that honor and reverence is one and the same. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We should honor those that are in authority. We should reverence those in authority. Now, I'm going to give you one little nugget. And if you listen, I'm going to help you out. Say, Pastor is going to bless you today. We don't have to go over the whole teaching, because they are free on our website. All you got to do is go to www.iogccchurch.com. Yeah, put it up on the screen for him, Jason. All you got to do is go there, and guess what happened? You can go right to the e-store, and you could download all the messages for free. All we ask is that if the Lord has empowered you to be blessed, and we know that you are empowered to be blessed, just make a small donation. If you don't make one, then we're not going to bother, amen, because somebody else will come and make one, amen. But we want you to have the word of God. But Ephesians 5:21 says this right here for reverence. It says this right here: submitting yourselves unto one another out of reverence for God. Now, that's another translation other than the King James Version, okay? But what it's actually saying is that you have no ability to submit to me, and I have no ability to submit to you if I don't first reverence God first. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I have to first reverence God. If I reverence God, I'm not going to look at you all cockeyed. If I reverence God, I'm not going to talk to you all twisted mouth. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
If I reverence God. But if my reverence for God is not right, then I'm going to treat you like garbage. Come on, somebody say amen. So really, you and I don't have a problem with each other. We have a problem when we are in contention with God and his word. Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. You want scriptural proof of it? The Bible says that when you fed the poor, you did it unto me. When you clothed the naked, you did it unto me. Come on. Isn't that what Jesus said? Okay. He said, to the least of these that you do it to, you do it also unto me. So he showed that when we treat each other in reverential fear, we are revering him. When we disrespect each other, then we are what? Disrespecting him. Come on. This is some powerful, anointed, good teaching right here. This is what separates the Christians and the disciples from the wannabes. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I just want to let you know, I want to give you some forethought. You're going to need to be a person of prayer, and you're going to need to be a person of worship, and you're going to need to be a person that operates in reverence, because in the times that we are living in right now, you're going to see it in the word of God today. The enemy is after your reverence. The enemy is after your worship. He wants your worship, because once he gets your worship, he gets you. He gets your service. Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. So you got to start it off by reverencing God.
Amen.
Glory be to God. That's the anointing right there. So the first one is reverence. Amen. Attributes of reverence. You have a prayer life. Attributes of reverence. You meditate the word. Attributes of reverence. You are a regular church attender. Attributes of reverence. You understand the importance of the fivefold ministry in your life. Attributes of reverence. You are faithful. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You are faithful. Come on. Have you ever had somebody that was unfaithful and you was depending on them to do something? The Bible says in Proverbs, it says that when you depend on a person that's unfaithful, it's like having a foot out of joint. Ain't that powerful? Amen. But when you are a person of reverence, you will hurt yourself to keep your own word. Glory be to God. Ain't that powerful? Amen. The second one is worship. That's what we're going to be teaching on today. The second pillar of a successful Christian is worship. The third pillar is praise. The fourth pillar is what? Somebody tell me. There you go. What's the fifth pillar? The sixth one? Meditation. The seventh one? Confession. Now, these aren't all the biblical pillars that make a person successful, but these are seven that will make you successful. If you adhere to these and you make them your conduct of living, amen, you will absolutely be a successful Christian. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials, tribulations. All believers, as long as you live, and you can write this down in your little black book, you're going to have battles with sin, flesh, and the devil all the days of your life. Come on, somebody say amen. Sin, flesh, as long as you are in this body, you're going to be constantly crucifying it. Long as you are on this planet Earth, you will be constantly in conflict with Satan and demonic forces. As long as you are a believer, you're going to have a battle with sin, flesh, and the devil. That explains why a lot of people, you look at them and they just don't have problems. You know why? Because they ain't committed to God. The devil don't fight people that's on his team. You know that, right? Amen. He don't fight people that's on his team. Amen. But see, he's going to fight those and be in conflict with those, amen, that are not on his side. Amen. You got that? First one is reverence. Second one is worship. Third is praise. Fourth is giving. The fifth is anointing. The sixth is meditation. The seventh is confession. Amen. Now, I'm going to move to talk about worship today. Amen. Somebody say worship. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to bring some things out today. And you talking about seeing clearly and having clarity? Somebody say, my God. My God. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. This right here is one of my first, foremost, favorite passages in God's word. I mean, I love all of the word of God. But this right here depicts a picture of Jesus after having been baptized by John the Baptist, coming up out of the water with all the glory all around him, surrounding him, the Spirit of God coming upon him like a dove, descending upon him. John the Baptist looking and saying, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You know what I mean? All that magnificent stuff happening. And then we see verse 1 that Jesus is being led and driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Let's take a look at this story right here. Verse 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say full. My God, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the devil is no match for you. I don't care what nobody ever told you. The devil is no match for you. But if you jump into the ring of life with Satan without being full of the Holy Ghost, he gonna whoop your butt. I'm gonna tell you right now. Here you have you laying up in somebody else's bed that you don't belong in, and you'll be wondering, how did I get here? He had you sitting up in some house smoking on some smoky smoke, wondering, how did I do this if you're not full of the Holy Ghost? Come on, somebody say, full of the Holy Ghost. He returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We can extract another principle. If you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, you're going to have to be full of the Spirit of God. You can't be led by the Spirit of God if you're not full of the Spirit of God. Don't you ask God what he wants you to do in life if you're not full of the Spirit of God. I'm talking to somebody today. Amen. Because you cannot be led if you're not full. You cannot be led if you're not full. You cannot be led if you're not full. See, I'm a teacher. I'm going to keep putting it in your head because people question and say, God, what do you want me to do on planet Earth? What do you have me here for? See, if God give you, thank you, Holy Ghost, what you're here to do and you're not full, you'll mess it up. Amen? Lord, have mercy. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to be full. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days tempted of the devil. I get phone calls from people that's been tempted for 30 seconds. I can't take it, Pastor. Why this keep happening to me? If it ain't one thing, it's another. Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus was 40 days tempted of the devil. Amen. And in those days, he did eat what? Nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Tell your neighbors and neighbor, if you're going to fight the devil, you have to fight him with the word. Let me give you, interject something right here. If you have no vocabulary of the word, you have no weaponry. If you don't know the word, it ain't what your pastor know, or what your husband know, or what your wife know, or what your mama know, or what your grandmama know, or what this person know. It's how much you know. Amen. From God's word. Amen. That's going to give you the arsenal and the weaponry you need in your battle of life. Amen. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Well, I know some people are just really good people and they don't like to fight. Baby, well, I'm telling you, you better learn to strap on them boxing gloves in the days that we are living in right now, because I'm telling you what, the devil is throwing blows. Amen. He giving some folk black eyes, bloody noses, and they just standing back with no Bible. Amen. Then they come to church and wonder why they getting their butt whooped. Come on, somebody say amen. Man, I'm preaching good. Thank you, brother, for that hand clap. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Let's look at verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain. Oh, I love this story. He showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Okay? Now, remember, we talked to you in tithe and offering that there is the kingdom of God, and then there is the kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world operate according to a worldly, sensual, sense realm system. But the kingdom of God operates by faith. And in the kingdom of God, the currency of transaction in that kingdom is faith. Everything is done by grace through faith in God's kingdom. It's not done by toil and work. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, toil is a product of the curse. Lord, have mercy. Toil is a product of the curse. Amen. And what we've done is we've taken Christianity and we put it inside the earth, and then we've taken the culture of the world and we've assimilated Christianity into the culture of the world. So now we got people that are worldly trying to be Christians and we have no victory. Come on, somebody say amen. But you are in this world and you are not of this world. That means that you are an ambassador. Baby, you are in heaven and on earth at the same time. You've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, you are a king. You are sent here as a representative of God to represent heaven and all of heaven's ways. My God. So how are we going to get there? Look at this right here. He showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the devil said unto him, all this power I will give you and the glory. Somebody say power and glory. Come on, somebody say power and glory. See, the devil gonna come at with you, and I'm gonna add something to it because I'm gonna show you about worship. He gonna come at you with three things. He gonna come at you with the power, he gonna come at you with the glory, and he gonna come at you with lust. Those three things he's gonna tempt every human being. Now, you can define lust as sex, or you can define lust as your appetite, your desires, your cravings, your own personal ambition. See, because those three things put together, given to whoever you give it to, equals worship. Here we go. He said, all of it has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give. If you therefore will what? Worship me, all shall be yours. Now look at Jesus' response in verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Tell your neighbor, say, worship God, and him only shall you serve. Now, notice that Jesus is tying worship and service together. He's tying worship and service together. Now, the word worship is an old English Anglo-Saxon word which was pronounced worth Skype, and it was later translated as worth ship. And then it later got translated as worship. It was shortened. The word worth Skype came from the word worthy. Somebody say worthy. So kings and lords of that day, they will say unto him, your worth Skype. Or like we say, your honor. Amen. The reason why you would approach a king or a lord like that was because of how worthy he was. Because of his position, because of his honor, because of his recognition, because of his wealth. Amen. When you would enter into the room of that magistrate, that king, that lord, you would honor him because he was worthy. Come on, somebody say he was worthy. See, Satan was trying to get Jesus to abase himself, to get low and prostrate himself and come up under the submission of him. Because whoever you worship, you will serve. That's why Jesus said in verse 8, you will only worship God, and him only shall you serve. See, worship and service go hand in hand. Worship is not a song that you sing. I sing because I am a worshiper. Worship is not a prayer that you pray. I pray because I am a worshiper. Worship is not a gift that I give. I give because I am a worshiper. Come on. Worship is not what you do. Worship is who you are. Worship is a lifestyle. Come on, somebody say amen. So you don't go to church to worship God. You worship God before you come to church. And when you come to church, amen, it's a part of your worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
So when Satan has your worship, Satan has your service. And see, that's why he said, all this power and all this glory I will give unto you. Why? Because Jeremiah chapter 1 tells us that before God formed us in the belly, before we came out of the womb, he knew us. He knows that within every human being, when they come through the matrix, or they come through the womb of a woman, every single human being has potential. And the enemy knows your potential. Come on. The enemy knows what you're here for. Even when you are blind to the fact of what you're here for, Satan knows that you are here to trample him up under. Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. He knows that your gifts and your talents and your abilities, amen, those things that if you serve God properly, guess what? You're going to put him in his place. But he also knows that if you're like Jay-Z, he also knows if you're like Ludacris and he can get you to bow down and worship him, he'll take those gifts and those talents that God gave you and use them for his service. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. See, he's after your worship because he's after your service. Genesis chapter 2, turn there. I'm going to prove it. Worship and service is tied together. Genesis chapter 2. If you want to know the end of a thing, you have to go to the what? Beginning of a thing. Amen. See, people start off reading the Bible by going to the end, and that's a fault. Amen. If you want to know the end of a thing, you got to go to the beginning of the thing. And the first three chapters of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the beginning, if you go there, you can find out God's whole entire plan. And then you can determine that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change the way he thinks. That means that God don't change his plans. God ain't like you and I. We ain't on no plan B, baby. If you haven't figured out yet, we're still on plan A. God didn't make no mistakes. God is incapable of making mistakes. Come on. He's immutable. That means he cannot be changed. Amen. Lord, have mercy. That's why Pastor Crisco told us that God don't want you to worship him because he needs worship. He wants you to worship him because you need worship. Because when you worship God, you become like who you worship. You ought to know that because we've been teaching that for 2 years. As you behold God, you become like God. Lord, have mercy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God takes his man, put him into the Garden of Eden. Somebody say the Garden of Eden. He put him in there to dress it and to what? Keep it. See, when I first read this scripture, I thought, you know, as a young person being born again 20 years ago, you know, how did he dress and keep it? I'm trying to picture, did Adam have a rototiller? Did Adam have like a hole? Did he have like some sticks and some line and he was keeping the garden and pulling weeds out of the garden? No, that's not what it's talking about. If you look up the original Hebrew words for dress and keep, you're going to find out the word dress means to worship and the word keep means to serve.
Come on.
Come on, somebody say amen. It's also the word when Jesus tells us to keep the word of God. Amen. Glory be to God. So in the beginning, God gave us an assignment to worship and to serve. What you find out after he gave him the assignment to worship and to serve, you can find over there in Genesis chapter 1 that the Bible says that God gave him that plan. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have complete dominion. Now, what does this mean to you and to I? Amen. God put the man in the garden. You guys know this story. The garden was a place of paradise. It was a place where there was no lack. All the provision that the man needed was there. Amen. He wasn't toiling in the garden. I know some people told you that, but toil came after the curse. Thorns and thistles came after the curse. All he did was walk around and speak the word and worship God. Everything he needed was already there. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, how does that bless you? Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you. For as it is written, cursed is he that hangs upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you. What does that mean to us? We don't have to toil anymore. See, toil is an outward experience of an inward deficit. Toil is an outward experience of an inward deficit. Watch this right here. You don't consider what you love to do toil. See, I don't consider pastoring a church work because I love to do this. I don't consider when I get and write a song and I rap work. Why? Because I love to do this. See, some people are toiling and some people are following God's plan. The ones that are following his plan are not toiling. Why? Because they realize they are no longer cursed. Lord, have mercy. But see, the curse will blind you from God's plan in your life. Lord, have mercy. And see, when you don't know the purpose of why you're here, what you're going to do is allow everybody else to give you a purpose for why you're here. Lord, have mercy. So since the very beginning, God wanted us to worship and to serve. Worship and to serve. Because when I worship God, I serve God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, when I'm pastoring, I'm serving God. It's a part of my worship. When I come here and I fix a chair, I'm serving God. When they were up there singing, we are serving God. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, when you go to your job, your place of employment, if it is the very thing that God put you here for, baby, you don't consider it a job. A job definition is just over broke. Come on, somebody say amen. You're just over broke when you work a job. That's why I tell people you shouldn't be concerned about getting a job. I know people tell, if a man don't work, he don't eat. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Man, bump all that mess. I'm not telling you not to work. I'm telling you, you better seek the face of God. You better find out what you're here for, baby. Because guess what? If you're going to work for money, then baby, you'll be working for money the rest of your life. Man, I tell you what, G-Rod, I need some help. Glory be to God. See, we're talking about getting people translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, where there is light. See, you got to be conveyed in your mindset. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You're not here to toil and to sweat the sweat of your brow and work and work and work and think somebody gonna clap their hands at the end of the day after you're done working and you got carpal tunnel and you got arthritis and you got all of this and you've been serving some ungodly man punching the clock your whole entire life. Baby, this is the image of God Christian Center. You gotta get to the place where you believe in you. Lord, have mercy. See, that word of God should be changing the way you think about you. When you worship God, you can't do nothing but serve God.
Yeah.
Baby, you ain't supposed to be serving no man. You're supposed to be serving God.
Yeah.
Because you serve God, you'll serve man. Somebody caught what I said. I'm not telling you to rebel. I'm telling you, guess what? When you're out there sweating your brow and doing all of that stuff like that, guess what? That is a product of you not worshiping. Because I'm telling you right now, when you worship, God gonna download. When you worship, God gonna uncover. When you worship, God going to reveal. Come on, somebody say amen. Pretty soon, that dream going to get bigger than that burger you flipping every week. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the dreamers are the saviors of the world. Not the workers, the dreamers. See, God needs some people that can worship long enough that they can become creators. Anybody can manage what somebody else created. What about somebody creating something? What about somebody making a pathway when nobody else has blazed one? You got to be a pathfinder, not finding somebody else's path, baby. You got to worship long enough until you find your path. And I guarantee you, when you find your path, yours is connecting with mine. Mine connecting with yours. The body of Christ is being fitly joined together so we can perfect God's plan on the earth.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say worship.
Worship.
Worship. We worship God because he's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus, help us. How do we worship? John chapter 4, verse 24. Turn there. St. John chapter 4, verse 24. See, here's a big problem right here. People don't know how to worship. Come on, somebody say amen. People don't know how to worship. Worship ain't counting beads. Worship ain't penances. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't care how long you've been going there. That ain't worship. That's ritual. That's tradition. And Jesus said the traditions of man make God's word no effect. I hope you know that you ain't pleasing God with those beads. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You ain't pleasing God with those rituals. That stuff don't please God. Only thing please God is faith.
Amen.
And faith is born out of a heart of somebody who knows God. Somebody who's intimate with God. See, we got to replace our intimacy with God with a bunch of rituals. Why? Because we don't want to worship the right way. And I'm going to show you the right way. Somebody say the right way. See, you, my God, people think that they're worshiping God when they come to church. You ain't worshiping God. Lord, have mercy. Here you go, John chapter 4. Look what Jesus said in verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. 22. You worship ye know not what. He's saying basically you don't know what you're doing. He said, and we know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. Somebody say true worshipers. Okay. If the word true is there, that means that also there is what? Come on. I didn't say it. You said it. Come on. There's what? So there's true worship and then there's what? There's false worship. Okay. Not all worship is true worship. Okay. He said when the true worshipers shall worship the Father where? In spirit and in truth. This is the problem right now. We're going to identify the problem. Most people walk in the flesh. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Most people walk in the flesh. Most people walk in carnality. Most people are under the subjection of their physical body in this world system. And whatever this world say, they do. That's why most of them don't show up to church. I'm not speaking negative, but they're governed by the system of this world. Come on, somebody say amen. Hey, we're going to come to the days where we're going to realize the importance of being up under the fivefold ministry truly.
Right.
Somebody say truly.
Truly.
I was teaching a leadership class today. Do you know you do not have the ability to detect and understand and fully walk in your giftings without fivefold ministry?
Come on,
somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is impossible. To say you can accomplish your goals without fivefold ministry is to say, Jesus, you made a mistake. Why would Jesus descend then ascend and give gifts unto men? Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Because he know that the church is going to need them.
Come on,
somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody say spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. See, when you're walking in the flesh, you can't worship God in the spirit. The Bible says in the book of Romans, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Come on, say that. Say, if I'm in the flesh, I cannot please God. I don't care what nobody tell you. Do God love you? Yes, he does. Absolutely, God loves you. Are you going to fulfill your potential? Nope. Not going to happen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can't fulfill your potential walking in the flesh. You cannot fulfill your potential walking in the flesh. You cannot fulfill your potential walking in the flesh. Because your service is born out of your worship. Worship has to be in spirit and in truth. Okay? Now, what is truth? John chapter 17, verse 17. You can write it down. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. So you can't say you're worshiping God if you're not following the word. Come on, somebody say amen. You cannot say you're worshiping God if you're not following the word. I'm not trying to put laws on nobody, but guess what? He said he's going to write his law in our hearts. He wants us to get past, look, at the book is saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know what most people that keep looking at thou shalt not, they're trying to find out what can I do. Come on, somebody say amen. We're looking for the opportunity in there. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Let me help you out right here. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody where they say, well, I don't really believe in this. Hypothetically, say tithing, or I don't really believe in healing, or I don't really believe. Come on, somebody say amen. And this right here, you know what it is? They're trying to get you to agree with that thing that's an anchor in their soul. That, come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But you can't agree with that crap. You got to uproot it with the word.
Amen.
See, God's word is truth. And if you're going to be a true worshiper, you got to worship in spirit and in truth. Come on. My God, I got to bring it out. I was talking to somebody else the other day, and we were talking about something that was very, very detrimental to our country. You know what I mean? And he was trying to get me to agree with him pertaining to his belief system. You know what I mean? And I would not back down. I told him, I said, no, I don't believe that. I don't care how bad the situation look in the natural. Let me help you out. I don't care how bad the condition is in the natural. God's word is final authority.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
If we don't have a standard to live by, then guess what? We might as well throw everything away. At the end of the day, we need a standard. There has to be something that every person can be governed by. And unfortunately, it's not the Constitution. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. In order to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We discover that Satan wants our worship because as he gets our worship, he'll get our service. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. Tell your name, say, worship is sacrifice. Let's say that again. Worship is what?
Sacrifice.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. And then Romans chapter 12. Worship is sacrifice. Y'all learning something today? It's just, I'm just laying the foundation today. That's all I'm doing. Genesis chapter 22. Now I gotta paint this picture to you so clear. You know, Abraham was 99 years old before he received the promise that he had been believing God for 26 and a half years. I'm gonna say it again. Abraham was 99 years old. I got to make it where it's real to you. Before he received the promise that God had gave him that he had been believing for 26 and a half years. God had told Abram that he would not just be the high father, Abram, but he would be the father of many nations, Abraham or Ham. So he was Abram the whole time, developing the mindset that he was Abraham. See, he was bound, developing the mindset that he would be set free. See, he was poor, developing the mindset that he would be rich. He was sick, developing the mindset that he would be healed. Come on, somebody say amen. 26 and a half years, this man of God followed God to the point where the Bible called him the friend of God. And all of the sudden, he said, you know what, you're going to have, he tried, watch this, let me just help, I got to back it up a little bit. He tried to make the thing that God spoke to him happen in his own power. You remember the story? When his wife and him couldn't bear a child, God told him he would bear a child. And then his wife said, I got an idea. She said, Abraham, why don't you go to my servant Hagar? And then Abraham was like, praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. He didn't fight her back, did he? So you got to read the Bible like the way it really is. He didn't fight her back, did he? Amen. Now you can do that to no woman nowadays. You even look wrong. Drive down the street and look to the left. You ain't gonna do that to Pastor Rosie, amen. You gonna do that to Stephanie G. Rod? She's smiling now. Watch the video. 26 of you. So he's like, I'm gonna try to make this thing happen myself. So he has a child by Hagar, and his name is Ishmael. What's the principle we can extract? If you get unpatient, or impatient is the correct word, with God's promises, because the Bible says we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. The word patient means constant endurance. If you get impatient with God's word, you'll try to make God's promise come to pass your own way. And when you make God's promise coming to pass your own way, you'll bring forth an Ishmael. And Ishmael, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't care necessarily about your feelings. God is concerned about his standard. Come on, somebody say amen. He's concerned about his promise. And he said, listen, Abraham, the son that I promise you is going to come from your loins. It's going to come out of